Amen. Lord, we're so thankful that the invitation to come into your presence and to be loved by you is still available to us. Keep on blessing us over and over again. Lord, when we tried to hide because of our embarrassment and because of our shame, you came and found us. Put your arms around us and loved us like everything had never changed. When we said we weren't going to run anymore, you showed us how beautiful it was to run again. When we cried all night, wet our couch and saturated our pillow with tears, when we rolled over and looked up, you were there. You reminded us that every tear mattered. Not one was wasted or went unnoticed. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. Nobody understood us. Nobody even seemed to care. You said, I got you. When the folk told us we whined too much and got on their nerve, you said, go ahead, I'm listening. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. Sometimes, Lord, we didn't even make sense to ourselves, but you kept on listening anyhow. Thank you. And so here we are yet again, and again seems like again, and again seems like another again, but we're just going to keep on doing it till you say we're done. But Lord, while we're here, would you meet us again? Lord, would you speak to us afresh? Sure need a word from you. We're in the presence of our God. And we bless your name. And God, I pray that you would help me help them. We can help somebody. Make preaching a little easier. Let the time be of more value to us. Come, Lord Jesus. Have your way in this place. Forgive us of our sins, we pray. Lord, don't let how messed up we are keep you from fixing us. Don't pass us by. In Jesus' name. Children of God said together, amen, amen, and amen. Come on, let's bless God together. Oh, come on, you can do a little better than that. It's God we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus. Come on and bless him. Come on. If you already got all you need, bless him like you're going to need something in a little while. If you don't have what you need, bless him like you need it right now. Come on and bless the holy name of our God. Somebody just shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I've never been opposed to folk blessing the Lord. Amen. So you get one of them spontaneous moments. You can go ahead, far as I'm concerned. Because Grandma was right when she said, every time I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me, I get a can't help it kind of moment. Anybody remember the last time you had a can't help it kind of moment? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! He's worthy. Praise our God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Grab your Bibles. It's about 10 minutes to the hour. Grab your Bibles. We bless God for you. Thank you to all of our guests who've come today. I praise God that you've come to be with us today and you've made us feel a little bit better. Amen. It's kind of like when you have a restaurant and don't nobody ever come, you feel kind of bad. And soon you go out of business. But we thank God that what we're serving, somebody's interested and came by to sample our wares. Amen. Somebody came to check us out. Amen. And we're glad you came by today. And we are always just eager to have folk join us. So it is our prayer today that if you are not in a church and you want to be in the body of Christ in the church, we tell you right now that our doors are open. And sometimes we get a little excited around here and forget to mention that again. So I'm going to mention it right now. So Deacon Walker don't look funny at me. But we want you to be in the body of Christ. More importantly, we're not promoting just GBC, but we're promoting Christ. So if we can get you in Christ, and we'll be happy to have you in the church. Amen. So we want to let you know. We're glad you came by today. I've got a couple of cards with some names on them, and I don't like to embarrass people because some of you may be in the witness protection program, and I don't want to mess that up for you. Amen. But we're glad you're here. You know you're here. That's what's important. Amen. So thank you for coming. And do pray that Jed Clampett's mentality will stick with you. Just sit a spell. Take your shoes off. Get your odor eaters out. Stay with us a while. Amen. In the Old Testament of the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, I'm going to lift up just a couple of things there. It's been on my heart for a little while, and as in the words just of Lemony Snicket, a series of unusual events have occurred that told me it was time to help everybody with this one. You know, I've come to learn, Deke McKenzie, that stuff I think going to help me tends to help other folk too. So I believe this is going to help all of us. Amen. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 49. Amen. Before I get there, let me do this. Can I do a pastoral service announcement for a minute? I want to say God bless and thank you, Jesus, for the Anderson family. Now, some of you may have known, and I know Sister Yvette is good with that Facebook thing, but they put a little link on Facebook for the kids. And the Anderson children have been featured in this commercial with this company. I don't know what company it is. What is the name of it? See, y'all saw it. That was just beautiful. And thank God for y'all, because that's part of us. And I looked at it. I said, look at them. They celebrities now. Them Negroes going to want to park in my place. But that was beautiful. And congratulations. I hope it works out. I hope they pay you a lot of money for it. And we can see it in the tithe and offering. That'd be good. But that was beautiful. And I like when things happen in our family. A lot of y'all post a lot of stuff on Facebook, mostly food. And I'm not going to mention that because I don't know where y'all be finding all this food at. But y'all like taking pictures of food. I have not figured out that yet, why people take pictures of food. But okay, I like to eat mine personally. I don't take no pictures of it. But God bless you, and I pray it goes well for you. And then whenever something great happens, let us know. That's part of what we look on Facebook for, to see good things happen. And I do want to tell you that many of you put some interesting things out there. And I like that. I like when you all put your scriptures and your spiritual moments out there. That's good. It's a blessing to be a blessing. And I just want to mention that. That was just really something nice to see. I said, man, we know some people now. Amen. I mean, I just thank God. That we know some people. Look at your name and say, I know somebody. Amen. His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to make sure we make that clear. And usually when you say Jesus, you get a little better response than y'all gave just then. But I'll let y'all got something in your hand. That's what it is. I appreciate that. Isaiah 49, beginning at verse 1. Again, I have a New Living Translation. It may read a little bit different than what some of you have in your hand. It says, listen to me, all of you in far off lands. The Lord called me before my birth. From within the womb, he called me by name. He made my words of judgment as sharp as a sword. He has hidden me in the shadow of his hand. I am like a sharp arrow in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant Israel, and you will bring me glory. I replied, but my work all seems so useless. I've spent my strength for nothing and to no purpose at all. Yet I leave it in the Lord's hand. I will trust God for my reward. And now the Lord speaks. He who formed me in my mother's womb to be his servant, who commissioned me to bring his people of Israel back to him. The Lord has honored me, and my God has given me strength. He says, tell your neighbor, he says, you will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. The Lord, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, says to the one who is despised and rejected by a nation, to the one who is the servant of rulers, kings will stand at attention when you pass by. Princes will bow low because the Lord has chosen you. He, the faithful Lord, the Holy One of Israel, chooses you. God bless you. You may be seated. The awesome presence of God. Ushers, thank you. You may rest from your labor. To all of you again, God bless you. We thank God for you. Pray that you've had a tremendous Sunday morning experience with our praise ministry and with our choir. I always enjoy it. I listen attentively, and I'm very thankful to God that he has given us such a talented group of men and women that don't mind praising him. Amen. Amen. And I always want to remind you that there is no business like God's business, like no business I know. And just want to tell you thank you, and we certainly appreciate those who have committed themselves to serve God. Look at your neighbor and smile and get it right first before you look at him. If the person sitting next to you won't do, kind of turn around and find somebody, whatever you have to do, I don't know. Sometimes you wind up sitting in the wrong section and that go bad always. But smile and look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, pastor is going to preach the sorrow of a servant. Amen. Amen. There is something that needs to be cleared up from the beginning of this moment, our next few moments that we're going to share. And I want to go on public record with this, and I don't care what happens after I say it, but I'm going to say it. Well, I do care a little bit, but I'm going to say it anyway. Don't ever get confused into thinking that because you serve God, that everybody going to love you. Don't get it twisted that because you doing a great work that everybody just gonna love you. And don't get it twisted to think that because you're doing some of this God stuff that folk gonna always agree with you and help you get it done. Amen. Anybody that's been in the Lord's employ for any length of time and are serious know I'm right about it. You probably thought to yourself when you become a servant of the Lord, everybody just going to love you because you're doing something wonderful for God. And they're going to sing your song and put you up on their shoulders, and they're going to set aside a day on the calendar for you. And just because you say you're doing it for the Lord, ain't nobody going to disagree with you. Everybody just going to say, oh, okay, you say you're doing it for the Lord. Okay, that ain't happening. But let me also put it on public record today, and I'm going to say this, and I don't care what happened either. There ain't no excuse not to do it. Amen. And I'm telling you now, just because you meet with some difficulty, that don't mean don't do it. Because folk get funny and challenge you and press you and get on your nerve. That don't mean that the God of our salvation ain't in it. That don't mean that everybody else a demon. And that don't mean that you need to run find a more holy environment. That just means you doing what you doing. And that's what people do. Y'all don't like me already. You better hear me now. And stop sitting around with this do-nothing attitude because you're afraid that when you do something that it's going to get hard because you do it with people. The servant's work is the Lord's work. Okay? All right, y'all trying to be funny. I'm telling you now that this is not a season for suckers. This ain't no time for people who are looking for just a gravy job and a title and want to sit in a bigger chair or get a better parking place. This ain't that season. And those who serve God better always remember that you are serving God. Amen. Amen. Don't make me work too hard earlier. I was gonna ease into this like butter. But I'm gonna tell you now, don't sign on. If you just looking for something where folk going to just pat you on your back and tell you how wonderful you are and we sure appreciate what you're doing to help our ministry, you crazy. It ain't never happened before and it ain't going to happen now. Look at the name and say, not here.
Well, that's loud as y'all been all day. Y'all must know something.
Isaiah got a problem. Isaiah ain't the only one got a problem. Anybody that serves God gonna have this problem. President of the usher ministry, choir, deacons, trustees, minister of music, guitar player, pianist player. You serve God, you gonna have a problem. Because everybody in the church ain't in Christ. And you may be sitting next to some of the very folk of which I speak. Because we still have a whosoever will obligation. And we don't have time. Even the psalm writing, Psalm 1 says, we can't sit in the seat of judgment. We can't be trying to screen folk. We don't do background checks. Hallelujah. We don't look into folk resumes before we let them come into ministry. Folk walk in here and lie just they walk in their jobs and lie. Come here tonight. Well, in my other church, I was. And we take them, okay, well, we'll let you do that here. But the reality is when you deal with people, you're going to have some problems. Say amen, somebody. And folk not liking you ain't no reason for you not to keep loving them. Y'all got quiet right there. Because the Bible said, love your neighbor. It didn't say wait on your neighbor to love you back. It didn't say wait for a more conducive time when everybody's in agreement. God says, love your neighbor. I was trying to help them, but they didn't appreciate it. I'm stepping down. You better get back in there. How many of y'all remember kindergarten? When them classrooms got chaotic and the kids were crazy, they sent in a real drill sergeant then. Those who are weak don't hang. And listen, how many of you have ever been in a job situation or been in an environment where folk couldn't hang and they quit? And when they gone, folks say, well, she just couldn't hang. But when they leave, you get more fortified, don't you? How many of y'all ever said, they ain't going to run me off? Amen. You knuckle down. You say, oh, that's all y'all got? That's as hard as it's going to get? Listen, Jesus himself said, be very aware of the fact that if things are happening in a green season, what do you think's going to happen when it gets dry? And he also said, I'm preaching and y'all don't help me if you want to. He also said, listen, if they do this to me, what do you think's going to happen to you? When I'm gone, they coming after you because they know you're a part of me. Look at the name and say, tighten up, it's coming.
Isaiah got a problem. And here he is in 49th chapter. And please understand, I ain't going to take much more time. It's a little minute after 12. But please understand that these letters were not written like we read them. You know, this ain't when, you know, when Isaiah got to chapter 49, he said, oh, by the way, chapter 49. No. This is, in other words, what I'm saying is, Deacon Anderson, Isaiah didn't just get this job. You know, I know you look back and you remember early on, he's talking about, hear my Lord, send me. And you know, we just like Isaiah. You know, the things were happening in the temple. You know, the train was the smoke and the fire. Isaiah just got caught up and said, hear my, I bet he looked back now and said, I should have never went to church that Sunday. And see, some of us do the same thing. Some of us, y'all stay with me. I'm going to drive down your street and run up all your grass, knock your hedges down, and then I'm coming in your house and eat your food. Isaiah, just like us, some of us got excited. The ministry was jumping. Things were happening. We fell in love. And next thing you know, we signing on. And now it's been a while and then got a little tougher. We sitting there going, man, what was I thinking? Come on, where you at? You might as well put your hand up about this high. Man, what in the, I had no idea that what happened after the benediction was when the reality set in. See, it's one thing for us to be in this environment and clapping and waving our hands, and some of us don't even do that much, but it's one thing to be in here and get excited and, you know, and then we do the little, come down the aisle and we come running down and somebody put their arms around us and they praying with us and kissing us on our head and telling us it's going to be all right, joy coming in the morning, hallelujah, and then the music stopped playing. The balloons go flat. And reality kicks us right square in our head. And the devil say, yeah, but you want to serve. But can I tell you, don't listen to him. Remember you wanted to serve. Remember how excited you were. Listen, I tell you, can I make it personal? All that stuff y'all be giving me at my anniversary, I keep it. I got the little gear shift thing. I got the little box. I got the little ribbons. Sister McKenzie gave me a little box one time with a ribbon to my pulling out vision. I got all that stuff at my house. Because when y'all get on my nerve, I go get that stuff. And I play with it. I go, here the gear shift. You remember the gear shift, Addison? Addison been the UPS man for years bringing that stuff. I got all that. I got the water bucket with the spigot. I got all that stuff because when reality set in, I got to remember I'm working for God. And if you got any sense at all, you need to remember that you working for God. Look at him. Here he is. Let me use him. Isaiah is walking into the HR office. Got a 12:15 appointment. Just about his time to come in right about now. He walks in, and what's happening in chapter 49, Wanda, is that there is an employee relation issue being exposed for all of us. All of us need to sit down for the 12:30 appointment and try to hear what's happening in the 12:15 appointment. Because Isaiah walks in there, and he, God bless you, he is in a state of deep depression. He's feeling kind of dysfunctional. He's feeling set upon by the very folk that he's trying to bless. And he's walking in there, Deacon Anderson, because what was in his job description and what's happening in job performance ain't syncing up no more. See, Isaiah had a little season there where all of the preaching was going good and all of his ministry was going well. And I'm talking not just to the preacher, I'm talking to y'all. Everything was happening in the ministry just fine, but something else started happening. You do know that you can serve God and serve too well for the likes of those that you serve. Say amen, somebody. It was fine when Isaiah was saying, return unto the Lord. And they said, well, how shall we return? He said, well, this is how you do it. And they were fine with that. But now things have gotten kind of out of sync. And Isaiah's saying, something ain't right here. And how many know that whenever what's happening on the job ain't happening, you need to make an appointment with somebody? Grandma called it this. Have a little talk with Jesus and he'll make everything all right. Say amen, somebody. Isaiah walks into the HR office and said, listen, it's something wrong here. And here's what really makes it hurt, Wanda. It's that I'm doing what God told me to do for the people God told me to do with, and they ain't feeling me. Some of y'all need to understand that, deacons, trustees, ministers, choir folk, usher folk. You need to understand that when you're doing what God told you to do, don't get twisted because they ain't feeling you. You better understand. And I'm not just, listen, let me help y'all understand something, because I see some of y'all trying to say, well, this ain't my kind of sermon. Maybe next week you'll be more in tune to shout and holler. No, this is for everybody. Because even in your marriage, you first married to God. Even on your job, you first worked for God. That's why the Bible says that everything we do it as unto the Don't sit here and tell me, I ain't in the ministry. No, you in the body. And God says, first do it for me. Because if you first do it for me, then everybody else got to get in line. Isaiah sit there and he said, Lord, something ain't right here. He said, because I signed on for what you told me to do. And now they ain't feeling me. And he said, I'm feeling some kind of way about it because ain't nothing working. Anybody ever been there? When it looked like, you know, one time you had the Midas touch, you know, and everything you did was just like, wow. You know, and they called you in because you had that kind of skill. Anybody ever been called in like a troubleshooter or fixer? Because your reputation was, when you came along, everything got tight. And they said, well, listen, get Darlene down here. If she fix it over there, she can fix it over here. But Isaiah was like that. Every community wanted Isaiah to come do their revival. Every community wanted Isaiah to come bless their children and speak to their wives. And he was doing marriage seminars, and he was doing biblical workshops, and he was doing Christian education. He was the fixer, but now ain't nothing working. It's right there in the text. Isaiah said, listen, everything I put my mind to is more confusing to me and frustrating. Every time, God, I think I take a few steps forward, I keep falling further behind. He says, something ain't working here, and I need to talk to somebody in charge of something so I can understand how to keep doing what I'm doing. Anybody ever done that? Anybody ever had that happen in on your job or in your marriage? You say, look, we need to talk because I'm trying to figure out now, if whatever I'm doing is so wrong, show me how to do it right. Because I'm really, anybody ever been to the point where you ain't ready to quit? You just need an adjustment. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate nine of y'all. I mean, you really know that this is what you want to do. And if you can just get an adjustment, you can go ahead. I mean, if you don't want, what's that girl? Y'all don't mind. Y'all know I have to do it anyway. What is it, Karen White? She said, you know, the eggs used to be so, your juice was sweet and now it's sour. Your egg, you know. Early in the morning, I put breakfast on your table. Make sure that your coffee has its sugar and cream. Your eggs are over easy. Your toast done like me. All that's missing is your morning kiss that used to greet me. Now you say the juice is sour. Thank you. I appreciate it. And she looks at him and she said, listen, I ain't no superwoman. I need to know how we can get this thing back on track. I'm not ready to leave yet because you got a good job and the house. But Isaiah said, Lord, something ain't right here. And here's what kicks him in the head. He said, I'm the same Isaiah. You the same God. I just need something to help me. Did you get motivated, Sister Anderson? You going to fix breakfast? Oh, okay.
He said, listen, it ain't working. He said, listen, let me see. And you know, we do this. And watch what Isaiah does. Isaiah does the gut check. Anybody ever done the gut check? Watch this. He knows without a question that he's been called by God, because he looked at verse 1. He said, you call me from my birth. Check. He understands the assignment, and he know he can do it. It's right there in verse 2. He said, he made my words of judgment sharp. He's giving me, okay, check. He goes, verse. He said, he knows he's the man for the job, because right there in verse 3, he said, you said to me. Check. And then here's the ultimate check. God never, ever, ever makes a mistake. Yeah. That's the check, because he done all the other. He got all of them. He said, all right, you told me, you called me. You said I was the man for it. You said I can do it. And you're God. So why am I feeling like I feel? Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever did the gut check? He said something ain't right. Now, beloved, I'm almost there. Here's where it gets sticky. It's almost time for the 12:30 appointment folk to come in. But here's where it gets sticky for Isaiah and for those of us who are sitting in the HR office waiting to go in next. The fact of the matter is, we all sitting there saying, I work for God. That's where it gets iffy. Deacon Walker, because I work for God. I mean, if I'm going to work for anybody, and this thing ought to be simplified yet spiritual, I work for God. You know, it's something you expect when you work for jacked up people. I mean, listen, when you work in Blockbuster Video, that's one thing. But when you work for the bootlegger, that's another thing. You don't expect the FBI to open the trunk of your car and take all your videos if you work for Blockbuster. But if you work for the bootleg video guy. Okay, all right. Some of y'all don't feel that. All right, it's one thing when you work for somebody who pay you when they got the money. It's another thing when you work for God who says, I got all the money. It's one thing when you work for somebody and say, look, man, you know, they may come in here and rob us, but, you know, do what you got to do. It's another thing when you work for that guy who wrote down, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want him. You know, that's different. When he said, I'll put a hedge round. You see, everybody can't put a hedge round about you. Everybody can't make your enemies your footstool. So Isaiah says, come on now, I work for God. When we get into ministry, and see, that's why I'm convinced, Deacon Davis, that some folk don't ever want to get involved in real ministry. Because this working for God thing ain't easy. And it don't come with balloons and flowers and certificates of appreciation. It comes with pain and separate. Listen, I know ministers whose wives have left them because of the ministry. I know women whose husbands are hating on them because they are involved in the ministry. Come on, sisters. Every time I turn around, you up to that church. Right? But listen, I'm working for God. Isaiah sitting in there, and we all who in line for the next appointment looking at each other thinking, this is crazy. But here it is. He said, listen, it hurts me because I was so confident in the calling. That's number one. He was so confident in the calling. I was kind of sure that this is what I had to do for God. You know, all my servant leaders looking like this now. Yeah, I'm talking to y'all. Me too. He said, listen, it ain't going to take me much longer. I don't want to bother you. He said, I was so sure that God gifted me for this. You know, we all like to do that Esther thing for such a time as this. You know, look at neighbor. You can tell your neighbor, time get confusing. See, Addison, we want to paint these pretty pictures. I was called for such a time. You everybody ain't laying at the feet of, you know, everybody ain't got it like that. And you need to stop thinking that because your story don't look just like that story, that you're in the wrong story. Come on now. He was so sure that God did this. Look what he said. He said, you made my words sharp. You gave me the necessary thing. How many know it's one thing to try to be equipped, but it's another thing to be equipped? Amen. Come on now. Some of y'all, when you were feeling your oats and you thought you were bad to the bone, you walked in, I got this. Come on now. Well, yeah, come on. Don't. You walked in every day, confident, got your chest out, then throwed your little coat over on the little rack there, you done adjusted your desk, and you waiting on the crisis to come. When the alarms go off, everybody else jumping up and down, you said, chill out. I got this. And they wait. You come in like Superwoman, Superman, and Batgirl, and Wonder Woman. You come in and you ain't sweating, you ain't frazzled, but now you ain't so sure. You done had a few seasons of getting bumped around a little bit. You done found out that they don't like they used to like you. Come on now. You saying, I'm not sure now if I'm in the right place anymore. Anybody ever had that confusion? Thank you. I appreciate three of y'all. He said, listen, I'm sitting here and I'm trying to figure out what's wrong here. Listen to Isaiah. He said, listen, it's as if I have labored in vain. King James, I know some of y'all still got it. He said, it's like I've done this for nothing. And this is the part that really kicks me. He said, I have spent all my strength for nothing and vanity. Anybody ever felt like that? So listen, don't think because you made the 10-year mark in your marriage that you got it going on. I've seen them end at 30. Don't think because you've been on your job 22 years and all of the other rifts and layoffs have passed you by that you can't leave next week. And I know how it feels when you have put all you put into a thing and then all of a sudden it's over. You feel just like I did all that for nothing. My strength is gone. Listen, it's one thing to go job hunting when you're in your 20s. It's another thing to be trying to start that thing in your 50s. Some of y'all starting to feel me now. That's how he feels. He said, listen, I have put everything into serving God, and this is what I get? He said, I'm done. I'm tired, man. In the New Living Translation that we read from, he said, listen, everything I've done, everything I've put out there seems useless. And then he kicks it hard about saying, you know what? There's no purpose in it. It ain't just ministry to children. It's life. What I'm trying to tell you is you don't own life. You just serve life. Ain't nobody got it that royal or that supreme. We are all subject to the ebbs and flows of reality called life. And it'll break you. It'll break you. And Isaiah's sitting there, and he's trying to get his case over. And let me tell you something now. Don't think that there's not a chair for you in that office. Because when it kicks you like it's kicking him, somebody's going to tell me something. So Isaiah says, well, you think that you're not part of this because you're not a minister or a deacon or a trustee or whatever. He said, but you're living. Amen. Look at the name and say, oh, it's for you. It's you may not shout on every piece of it. But you're going to show enough feel yourself in it. Because the reality is none of us want to be used and cast aside. Nobody wants to be devalued. All of us want to know. We don't want to just hear. We want to know that what we're doing makes a difference and is appreciated. My mother taught me something very simple, and I'll be out of y'all way here most directly. At least you can say thank you. I mean, whenever somebody do something, you know, somebody ought to at least walk back and say, man, we sure appreciate that. We thank you for doing the food ministry. We thank you for the clothing. We thank you for the parking lot being. We thank you for the vegetables in the garden. Somebody ought to at least come back and say, man, thank you. I mean, you know, you ought to, let me tell you something. You ought to always have the mentality that everybody else is too ignorant to do it, so you go do it. 10 lepers, you remember, 10 of them. Ain't but one come back. Don't you think we ought to thank Deacon Walker for giving up his time? I mean, don't you think we ought to thank Minister Dixon and her husband for giving up that? You know, that food don't just show up over here and unpack itself. Don't you think we ought to thank Sister Nowlin and the ladies, Sister Maxine? I mean, you may not need any of the clothes, but they're down there. It's hot down there. Clothes are coming in musty and stink and bugs. And I'm telling you now, somebody ought to say thank you. Brother Anderson back there in the sound room, somebody ought to walk by. You may not buy a CD, but you ought to tell him, man, we appreciate you. The choir, the drummer, the van driver, the person that made the air come on. Come on now. I mean, somebody ought to every now and then recognize that there are servants doing servant work all the time. They don't get to come before the mic. They don't get no anniversary day. They don't get no extra pay. Some of them don't get nothing. But Isaiah said, this ain't right, man. I've been coming up here every day for 20 years, turning the lights on. I've been making sure the temperature's right. I've been making sure there's grocery. I mean, come on, somebody. He said, this ain't right. And it broke him. And here's the reality. Again, some of you say, well, you know, Reverend, that still ain't me. Let me tell you something. We're all hanging around here for something greater than this. Every one of us in here now are hanging around because there's got to be something greater than this. And let me tell you now, I'm getting ready to leave you alone. Let me tell you now, right now, as you sit here and look at me and I look at you, a whole lot of us don't even know what we really believe. But we're coming back Sunday after Sunday trying to find something to believe. I mean, because when everything else is falling around us, there's got to be Jesus. When everything else is broken, there's got to be Jesus. When my job is gone, when my wife is gone, when the money is gone, when the house is gone, the car don't start, there has got to be Jesus. Nothing else in my life may work. The coffee machine broke, the toaster fried, the oven don't come on, the doorknob done fell off. But in the end of the day, there's got to be Jesus. And Isaiah said, I need to know that right now. He's hanging around. He said, listen, it doesn't matter how frustrating it is and how fraudulent all of it seems. Let me give you the early shout here. He said, what I've got to do is make up in my mind that I am the servant of God. See, I knew that. I got it right here. I knew that was going to happen. I put a note here. They ain't going to get this. But that's the key, brothers and sisters, beloved of God. Don't worry about all that other stuff. Just keep telling yourself that I am the servant of God. That's how I keep going. That's how I keep going, because I've learned that it does not matter whether or not they recognize you. It doesn't matter whether or not they appreciate you. It doesn't matter whether or not they agree with you. You just got to keep telling yourself that I am the servant of God. I'm not doing it for them. I'm not doing it because I like. Listen, all of us got our fan club and all of us got our likes and dislikes. But you got to stay focused on the point. The point of the matter is you were called to be a servant of God. And again, don't think it means you need a ministry title. You living, ain't you? You are a servant of God. Some of y'all looking at me real funny now. Let me explain it to you. Every one of us in this room, I'm just about there. You ready? You came over here. You ready? Oh, maybe you get ready to go somewhere. Listen. I'm going on. Every one of you in this room, whether you want to agree with me or not, and I don't even care if you don't. I love you. I mean that in love. Now, I ain't trying to start no trouble. But I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in this room is a servant of God. You don't get no option with that, because when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, you signed on for servant life. Y'all acting funny now. I'm gonna nail that one. I'm telling you now, whether you want to say amen or whether you don't, listen, I told you, we all hang around for something. We all believe in something and trying to believe something again. But the truth of the matter is, read the Bible, we are all called to serve God. Amen, 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 amen. You were deputized by God to full service. And it doesn't matter whether or not you want to be a part of the committee or whether or not you want to be on this group or that group. You serve God. That's why the Bible said everything you do it as unto the Lord. That's servant life. Boy, y'all sure getting quiet. That's everybody. And because everybody in here is a servant, it ought to be humbling and praiseworthy. You can't sit around here waiting on him to hit the right key so you can praise God. You just ought to praise God because you praise God. Amen. We funny. We so funny. We sit around looking at people moving and stuff. We look around and see who's doing what. And then we act like God only blesses us through committee. Some of us, as good as God been to us, as much as God has delivered us from, as much as God has healed our bodies and kept us, you ought to be praising God all by yourself, by yourself. And the fact that you are still yet alive, some folk have died from a half of what you went through, and you still alive, and you're going to act cute on God. You don't have to wait on nobody else to remember. You remember. I will bless the Lord. You still alive. Don't worry about folks looking at you because you stand up trying to figure out why you stand up. You know why you standing up. You know why you waving. You know why you shouting. You know why you crying. If it had not been for the Lord. That's why Grandma and him said, I promised him that I would serve him till I die. He said, I'm figuring it out now. He said, I keep myself happy because I remember I am a servant of God. You all let that roll off your tongue every now and then. I'm a servant of God. I may not be the best servant. I may not be top rung, but I'm a servant of God. I may not be five talent yet. I may not be three talent. I may just be that one talent servant, but I am a servant of God. God. It rings well in my spirit. I'm honored to be a part of the faithful and fallen. I'm honored to be a part of the lineage of those who have given up themselves. Listen, until you give up yourself, you'll never get the best God. I'm going to say that again. Until you give up yourself, you will never get the best God. That's why the Bible said we die to Christ. Got to give up yourself. Nudge your name and say, give it up. That's pretty good. Y'all did all right. Look at another name and say, give it up. I'm going home. He said, listen. He said, I got it. And it turns for him because he recognized it. This is it. This is it. We going on. He said, listen, I know I was putting it all in. Now, let me throw this in. Let me throw this in. Because I told you earlier, it was confidence in the call. Second thing is to understand that the commitment is the cause. Confident in the call. But the commitment is, see, we do it because we do it. I know that may sound silly to some of y'all, but he said, listen, I did this because there was a cause. I wasn't committed to making a name for Isaiah. I wasn't committed to trying to make a name for my preaching or my music. I wasn't committed because I want people to remember me. The cause was Christ. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Y'all, oh, boy, y'all almost got it. He said, I recognize that it was not about me. He said, when you called me, because you have the authority and the anointing to make the call. And, Lord, if you thought that much of me, come on, help me somebody. Because some of us know that we probably ain't going to get called by nobody else. Yeah, some of us going to be turned down a whole lot more than we get lifted up. But Isaiah said, I recognize that even though I put it all in, it wasn't about me. He said, I understand that this is tough on me. He said, I'm heartbroken. I'm kind of sorrowful, but he's being honest. And let me help you as I get ready to leave you alone. Some of y'all, if you ever want to get your joy back, if you ever want to understand the significance of your service, please be honest with God. I mean, when you ain't feeling it, just say, you know what, Lord, I ain't feeling it. Let me tell you something. That's why I've come to learn that, and some of y'all, I know y'all watch me a little bit, and that's fine, I don't mind. But you don't see me jumping all the time. I mean, you don't see me trying to fake it. Listen, if I ain't feeling it, I just ain't feeling it. Ain't nothing wrong with how they singing it or how they preaching it. It's just sometimes I'm just kind of not there. But I stay focused. Amen. I mean, come on now. I have a constitution that simply says stay consecrated, stay concentrated, and stay committed. Y'all miss them. They'll be good. Get the CD. He said, listen, Lord, I gave it all up, but I'm honest with you. And right now, Lord, I'm feeling some kind of way out of it. But then he said this. He said, listen, the reality is I know that the way I'm feeling, God, ain't going to bless the kingdom. Let me hurry along here. He said, because if I keep feeling like this, I'm going to start messing up some things. So now watch what initially it sounds like. Isaiah walks into the HR office, Stacy, hoping that God would either fire him, transfer him, or give him an early retirement. Thank you, baby. I said, he walks in. He's got an agenda. Because listen how he's talking. He said, you know what? If I go in, maybe he'll just fire me. And if he fires me, I can just get back to my life. Maybe God recognizes that this is a burnout situation, and maybe he'll just transfer me. Let me go somewhere where folk will love on me again and appreciate what I'm doing. And ultimately, he said, well, if none of that works, I've been at this a while. Maybe I can just get an early retirement. Because you do know that God's other retirement is there. Yeah, so Isaiah said, I ain't ready to die. Maybe God, listen, it's right there in the text. He said, maybe God will just give me an option. Maybe if I talk to him in a spiritual tone, don't go in there with no attitude, you know, because you know you're going to HR office, you got to act like you got some sense. Amen. Amen. Can I talk to y'all like I really want to? You have been around some folk who talk trash all the time, but then when they get in a professional environment, they got that business voice. You know, you go to HR, you can't be going in there with slang and talking all that trash. Let you talk. You got to go into HR and say, well, perhaps it would be conducive to the company if there were another position available, perhaps in another environment where I could best serve. That's how you talk in HR. You can't go in there with, y'all going to treat me like this. Because when you get outside, security going to help you get all the way outside. He said, watch, I'm going home. He said, maybe God will just kind of let me go. He said, because the way I feel, I don't deserve to feel. And watch how he negotiates, Jess. He negotiates with God by saying, he said, Lord, I haven't accomplished nothing. It's right there in the text. He said, everything I've done was for nothing. Now watch this. Now, look, Chris, watch this. He said, and with that in mind, Lord, honestly, I really don't expect nothing. I don't deserve nothing. And then here's the kicker. He said, because I'm feeling like nothing. It's right in the text. He said, I done lost it. He said, and Lord, in light of the fact that I have failed miserably, maybe it would be better for you to just let me go. It's right in the text. Read it. He said, Lord, I'm just willing to back up because everything I've done seems like nothing. But see, you got to always remember that when you read a verse, because they're not written like verses are written like we read them, that's not the close of the matter. Because here's where I got my shout, Wanda. I read the next few lines. And Deacon Davis, what I discovered is that God would not accept Isaiah's resignation. God said, thank you, baby. God says, no, Isaiah, you misunderstand me. And here's what I need all of y'all to understand again, because not necessarily only about ministry, but about life. You need to understand there is a thing called God logic. Yeah. it's kind of like what we talked about a little bit last week. So I can tie it in because you remember when Paul was talking to God about that problem. It was God's logic that said, you're going to be fine. And some of us need to understand that as sorrowful as you're feeling and you're feeling kind of out of it, God is not taking resignations. God looks at Isaiah and says, well, Isaiah, I appreciate you coming by, but there are other appointments today. And because I'm such a busy God, I'm going to say this, and this meeting will be adjourned. And Isaiah said, yes, sir. He says, Isaiah, please understand. And it's right there in the text. He says, I know you have seemingly failed at the little things. And I know you feel as if the people you serve don't appreciate you. And I know you think that it would be better for me to put you in another region. But the truth of the matter is, I'm going to send you back where you came from. He says, Isaiah, you understand that every now and then conflict brings confidence. Say amen, somebody. Because you will have never learned how to be as tough as you are if life had always been easy. Look at your name and say, I thrive on conflict. Yeah, look at them and tell them, listen, you'll discover sometime that little employee that sits two cubicles over from you that don't never say nothing, but wait till some conflict comes. That's when girlfriend will stick her head up over that little petition and said, you said what? Because I thrive on conflict. Some of us will never know our best game until the game goes into overtime. Some of us will never know we can kick a 50-yard field goal until we need to kick a 50-yard field goal. Why? Because we don't practice at that distance. Because we don't think we'll ever be in that situation. But look at poor Isaiah sitting there trying to get God to reason with him based on reasoning Isaiah. But how many of you glad that God didn't listen to you? Because you went in there crying, trying to get God to take the weight off your shoulder, but God gave you more work to do. Some of us went into God saying, Lord, I'm not qualified, but God gave you more work to do. He said unto me that my grace is sufficient. But Isaiah found out that not only is grace the issue, but it also required that I get my groove back. The Bible said that Isaiah turns around, and right there at the end of verse 4, he said, listen, after all I've said, yet I've decided I'll leave it up to God. Look at your name, say, neighbor, I thought I had my answer, but I've decided today just to leave it up to God. He said, I'm going to let God give me my reward. They may never call my name. They may never pat me on my back, but I've made up my mind that I'm going to serve the Lord. I promise him that I would serve him till I die. I've made up my mind that I'm going to keep on doing whatever the heck it is I was doing. I may not be the apple of your eyes, may not be the flavor of the month, but I've made up my mind that I'm a servant of God, and I'm going to keep on striving. I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on playing. I'm going to keep on singing. I'm going to serve the Lord. Look at your name and say, neighbor, I never will forget what he's done for me. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. He picked me up and turned me around. He made a way for me when I couldn't find my way. I was a lost and idle, and I was a sinner too. But I heard, I said I heard. Anybody heard from God lately? He called my name. He said, rise and shine. Look at the name and say, neighbor, I'm coming up out of my doldrums. I'm coming up out of my depression. And I'm going to serve my God. I've got work to do. I've got to work while I've got the light of day. Where my worker bees at? Look at your name and say, neighbor, it's time out for all that whining. It's time out for all that hesitation. I got to get back in there. I got to rise up. I got to get my joy.
I gotta sing my song. I gotta preach my text. I gotta pray my prayers. I gotta go, go, go. Say yeah, say yeah. I've made up my mind that it's too much at stake. There's too much on the line. I've got to get it done now. Jesus said, I'm coming back. And when I come back, don't let me find your works undone. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't let him find your works undone. You got to tighten up now. You got to grind out now. You got to hang on in there just a little while longer, because grandma was right. Serving the Lord, serving the Lord, serving the Lord will pay off. Not today, not this afternoon, maybe not next week, but when? After a while. Slap somebody a high five and tell them, after a while, by and by, God will.
He's going to tell you, well done. He's going to say, well done. They may not recognize you. They may not ever say thank you to you. But God will remember. He'll remember. That's why Paul said, this you must know, that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. They may never appreciate you. You may be married for 50 years and he may never or she may never, but your labor in the Lord, you can work that job 25, 35, 45 years. And the day you leave, they may not shut the plant down. They may not give you anything. You may not even get a Timex watch. But you just remember, you didn't go there for them. You went there as a light for the Lord, and he will remember. You may do what you do in the church. And church folk forgetful. Church folk, the most forgetful folk I have met in my life. Because you can rack up 100 attaboys with the church and one oops and they'll forget you. Say amen, somebody. But the Lord will remember. Isaiah made up his mind. He said, you know what? I'm going to trust God for my reward. Some of us got to stop walking around here waiting for a pat on the back. Stop walking around here waiting for somebody to lift you up in acknowledgement. Don't worry about them. Do like Isaiah said, I trust that the Lord will give me my reward. Some of y'all looked at me funny the whole time I was preaching. But you know I'm right. This servant life could be a kick in the head. Isaiah went in there trying to negotiate with God, and God sent him out fired up. Isaiah came out of there and said, shh, man, I'm going to get something for this. And you understand? Let me give you this little bonus and we can go. No matter how much you labor with your hands, just stay in his hands. That's simple. No matter, listen, no matter how much you do, stay with him. Isaiah did the right thing. He didn't go to the public. He didn't go talk to other preachers. He didn't call his best friend. He did like grandma said. Just a little talk with Jesus. Make everything all right. And I'm going to tell you something right now, another little bonus. As much as I have done what I've done in all these years, and as much as I have been disappointed and frustrated and heartbroken, that little cliche is right. I have never come out of the presence of God and not felt all right. Never. Not really. And it doesn't mean he fixed it. Doesn't even mean he changed it. But I have discovered that just a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. If all right only means I go back in and get beat up some more, If all right only means I go back to get more frustrated, I'm all right. Because you do know that the issue that we most deal with is not the fact that we have these trials or tribulations. The thing that gets us the most and really cuts us to the core is when we don't hear from God. That's why, to me, about the third most profound saying in all of the Bible is right there in that Corinthian letter, where Paul simply reports, "And he said unto me." That's my thing. If I can just get God to say something, I'm all right. And what he says doesn't have to be what I want him to say. I just need to know he's talking to me. Y'all ain't talking back to me. If I can just get God to say something. Come on now. Some of y'all know what that's like. You know, you've been in personal relationships and somebody really mad at you and ain't talking, that's when you really get scared. But if you can just get in a grunt or something. How many of y'all ever just kept saying, come on, just say something. Say anything. Just yell at me, scream, cuss me out. No, act like y'all don't cuss. Amen. I'm going on record and admit at least twice in my life, I know I have. At least twice. Been a while. I repented. At least twice I remember. It's only been two times. I'm praying that the third don't happen. And I know it's two times. It's probably back like 1970 something. And the other one was in 85. Something like that. Yeah. 1976 is the year of the bicentennial. That's what it was. The fireworks was going off, and I said, ooh. Okay. And the other one was in 1980-something when they shot Ronald Reagan. I said, oh, my Lord. That's two times. Right? Some of y'all got a whole lot more than I got. I got two. But if you can just get him to say something, and it makes all the difference in the world. So I'm telling you, don't be sorrowful. Don't quit. Don't give up. Your reward's going to come from the Lord. And again, please understand me. This applies to every part of your life. When you walk out of those steps today, when you walk down those steps, right out of that door and down those steps, don't think, that wasn't for me. That was just for the leaders. No, no. Because some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Underappreciated, underpaid, overworked. You know, all them things. Unequal marriage, unequal with the children, unequal, you know, family don't even appreciate. You done baked all them cakes for the family reunion, took them baked beans over there, and they didn't say nothing? Your butter and your sugar. You ever know the people who make cakes always can tell you everything go in it? I put all my butter and my sugar and my eggs. They ain't say nothing. Oh, Harmony, thank you for the cake. I'm back up now. You understand what I'm saying? He said, listen, it hurts. Especially when you feel like everything you've done is for nothing. To no purpose. Amen. God bless you. The doors of the church are going to be open immediately after we take up the offering. We get ready to give now. We got to get ready to go. It's right at 1 o'clock. Come on, let's bless the Lord in giving. We need you to ramp up your giving. We need you to bless the Lord. Y'all stop clapping when I said ramp up. Amen. We do. We really need you to do better. We're getting there. We're getting there, but we got a long way to go. We got a lot of big projects.